Hi everyone, Karen here. Before we start our proper show, I just want to quickly say that our hearts go out to those who are affected by the Boston Marathon tragedy on Monday. It's hitting us all in personal ways. And I do want to share a classic quote from one of our Good Job Brain heroes, Mr. Rogers. And he says, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" So, a giant thank you to the volunteers, the policemen, and the medical staff. Thanks to those who helped, are helping, and will help. And in the spirit of helping, we donated all of our last month's sponsorship ad money to the two hospitals treating the victims, Massachusetts General and Tufts Medical Center. And our own co-host Chris actually went to Tufts University. And we're hoping you will help too, whether if it's through donations or just by thinking warm thoughts. Hopefully our little show today will also help by adding a bit of laughter, learning, and zest to your day. Crazy, crafty, cranial, creamy crawdads. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 58. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your hovering but handy hosts and hostesses.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Bonobos, not the apes, but the destination for awesome fitting pants and slick, nice clothes for the gents, for the lads, for the lords, and for the fellas. Score some fancy, smart pants, jackets, shirts, sweaters, and shoes. And Good Job Brain listeners and new customers get 20% off with the code SMARTYPANTS. All right, let's start with our general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. And here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card, and you guys have your barnyard buzzers. Let's answer some questions. Blue Wedge for geography. What spiritual leader's given name is Tenzin Gyatso?
That is the Dalai Lama.
Correct. I don't know if I pronounced that right, though. Tenzin Gyatso?
Sure.
Yeah, Gyatso. Pink Wedge for pop culture. Who turned down lead roles in An Officer and a Gentleman, Chicago, Forrest Gump, and Splash?
Turned down?
The other Tom Hanks.
Bizarro Tom Hanks.
I hate these questions. Like, I just don't. They don't interest me.
You're not in the Hollywood.
I just don't care who turned down what role. Sorry, that was my little mini rant. Wow. All of which to say, I don't know.
Well, I mean, he could have made a lot of money, right?
Tom Cruise.
Incorrect. It is John Travolta.
The other Tom Hanks.
Wow. He's shown some amazingly bad judgment.
Yeah. I know. Forrest Gump. To say
Forrest Gump.
No. No.
But can you imagine him doing it?
No.
It might
Tom Hanks
not
did
been
such
great.
A good job.
Yeah.
He did. Thanks. I'm sure you really appreciate it.
Good job, Tom.
You did such a good job. Yeah.
Tom
movie.
Hanks.
You should get an award. Yellow Wedge. Why did John Jacob Astor, Isidore Strauss, and Benjamin Guggenheim die together? Dana.
The Titanic?
Yes. They were lost with the Titanic. Purple Wedge. What award does the American Library Association give to the best illustrated children's book of the year?
Ooh, is it the Newbery?
Ooh, no. That's the other one. Oh, that's the best book.
I was going to guess Newbery, yeah.
Chris? I know this
one. Oh, is it the Peabody Award?
Peabody is journalism.
Oh,
Caldecott.
Caldecott. Yes. I always remember seeing that.
The seal, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. So Newbery is best book. Caldecott is best illustrated book.
Yep.
Children's.
Okay. Newbery is the writing and Caldecott is the drawing.
Oh, okay.
For children,
that's a good one.
That's a good one, yeah.
Because you
good.
Always see the seal on the book covers. All right. Green Wedge for science. What is a computer's modulator demodulator more commonly called?
A modem.
Yes, and I didn't know that.
Yep.
Everybody's like,
Not that computers have those anymore.
And what's funny, I mean, I'm sure we have a lot of listeners who have never owned a modem with their computer. Yeah.
Right. It's called that thing in my garbage.
Yeah.
All right, last question, Orange Wedge. Before the New York Yankees became the Yankees in 1913, what were they called?
Oh.
Now, you know, we have had this before.
Yeah, it's not like the Knickerbockers, but it's something old-timey, I think. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Oh, man, we have had this question before. I cannot remember.
We have.
We had it the other direction, I think. It was so-and-so, later renamed. I don't know.
The Dandy Cycles.
Right. The Dandy Horses. Right.
Dandy Horses. What is it?
The Highlanders.
Yes, that's right.
And I thought it was like, because of a cultural thing, like Highland, Scotland. Mm. It's because they played at Hilltop Park, one of the highest spots in Manhattan. Mm. Hence the name, Highlanders.
It was 20 feet high.
Good job, brains. And woo! I'm sure loyal listeners remember that we did one show called The Man Show, where we talked about all things brawny and male.
Mans.
We're going to do the opposite. So this week is our woman show.
Just want to do something special. For all the ladies in the world, and the girls, don't forget them.
Caribbean,
ladies,
Parisian,
ladies,
Bolivian,
ladies,
Namibian,
ladies,
East Indochinian,
ladies,
Republic of Dominican,
ladies,
Amphibian,
ladies,
Presbyterian.
Well, as a world-renowned expert in women, I would like to kick off the show with a simple quiz, just to, you know, just to get the old brain juices flowing, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
Yeah. And about famous firsts. So let me ask you guys, and if nobody knows this, I bet you'll be able to puzzle this out.
Okay.
When I ask you,
good.
Who is Valentina Tereshkova?
Valentina
Tereshkova.
I'm going to guess like a ballet dancer.
This is a quiz about famous firsts. Valentina Tereshkova.
Oh, I'm going to guess first woman in space.
First woman in space.
Oh,
there you go.
Russia.
Exactly. Yep. See, I figured if I said it over and over again, some of you would. 1963. It was not until 20 years later that
Sally Ride,
the first American woman
who
went to space in 1983.
Hold on.
Chris.
Did she come back safely?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it wasn't like her and the dogs or her and
the... Right.
Because that would have been saying something.
Yes,
she came back safely.
She's fine.
First woman to win an Academy Award as Best Director?
That was, what is her
the
name?
First one
Karen buzzed in.
Catherine Bigelow?
Yes. Everyone seemed to know. It was Catherine Bigelow.
Oh, that was a trick question.
For the Hurt Locker.
First woman to win
Academy Award as Best Director. The first woman to win a presidential primary. First woman to win a presidential primary. Yep.
Well, I was going to say, was it Geraldine Ferraro?
It was not Geraldine Ferraro. Never ran for president.
Yeah.
First woman to win a presidential primary.
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The first woman Secretary of State. Dana?
Madeleine Albright
for William Jefferson Clinton. The first woman Attorney General of the United States. Dana?
Janet Reno.
Yeah. Yes. Everybody gets Janet Reno.
Just happened.
Karen, the only time Karen has ever seen Janet Reno is John Goodman playing Janet Reno on Saturday Night Live, I think.
No, it was Will Ferrell.
Oh, Will Ferrell? Oh, okay. The first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. Dana.
Amelia Earhart.
Yes. Finally, here's a question that I came up with, or something that I read about. This I felt was very interesting, and I wanted to ask you guys. Do you know who Virginia Dare is?
What?
I do. I believe Virginia Dare is the first person born in America, born as an American citizen. Yes?
No, well, sort of.
First child born in the colonies? Was that what it was?
She is the first, importantly, she is the first, yes, she is the first child of English parents born in the colonies.
In the colonies.
Not the first person ever born in America.
Sorry, yes.
Right, yes. But was not an American citizen because there was no America, but yes. Virginia Dare, first English child born in America. Born in the Roanoke County in what is now North Carolina in 1587. The whole colony actually disappeared. It's the lost colony.
Yeah.
Yeah, all they ever found was the word Croatoan etched on a post, and that's it. The whole colony was gone.
It gives me the chills.
Oh, yeah, it certainly does. Yeah, it does.
We should do an episode.
Yeah, but that's
about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's who Virginia Dare is.
Wow.
That's definitely one of those factoids that I've learned from trivia.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I can go second. I mean, unless you guys think it's weird to have the woman show start off with the two guys going first.
Oh, no. I'm sure you guys have been examining and studying women all your lives.
Longer than you think. I didn't mean that to sound creepy. Really.
How about this? I'll say it patronizingly. Guys, yeah. Gentlemen first.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I have some friends who have a little girl who loves pink and purple. Like everything that she buys is either some shade of pink or some shade of purple. Ironclad rule for her. And so we got to talking about, you know, how much of this is nature nurture. And of course, you know, we came to the conclusion, well, we think it's probably all
nurture.
Right. It's all socialized into them, to little girls, to like pink. What is the roots of boys get blue, girls get pink, you know? And at least in America, this is a very common thing. You get the little babies in the delivery room. They get the girls get the pink outfit, the boys get the blue outfit. Now, I should say, lately, there's been a resurgent move toward more unisex baby clothes.
Green and yellow.
Right. Yep. Gender neutral.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, because I want a green one if I was born again as a baby.
Yeah, a little minty baby.
That's right. Mint baby.
If you're born like again, Karen, I hope it's as a baby.
Oh, and then you can assign like Starburst flavor. So instead of genders, you can be like, oh, the lemon baby, the lime baby.
Registers lemonbaby.com.
But the really highly gendered association of pink is for girls, blue is for boys is not nearly as old as I thought. Wow. It really, at least in America, this goes back to just about the 40s when it really kind of started getting solidified. Huh. I'm drawing a lot of details here from a woman named Jo Paoletti, who's a historian and wrote a book called Pink and Blue, Telling the Girls from the Boys in America. And so one of the things that she talks about is, you know, for a long time, you could dress colors interchangeably with boys and girls. And it wasn't really until around teens in the 20s that they started coming up with descriptors of, no, this color is for girls, this color is for boys, this is our guide to parents and things like that. But it was opposite. It used to be that pink was the boys' color and blue was the girls' color in America. Yes. And so there's this really interesting excerpt here. Department stores, you know, would have their shopping guides. And so like well into the 20s even, stores were saying, no, you should dress your boys in pink, your girls in blue. There's an article here. This is from 1918 from Earnshaw's Infants Department. And this is a quote. The generally accepted rule is pink for the boys and blue for the girls. The reason is that pink, being a more decided and stronger color, is more suitable for the boy, while blue, which is more delicate and dainty, is prettier for the girl.
Oh, man.
Wow.
It's like the context and perception, all of that, it's so important, right? I mean, just the words wrapped around it, it's like, yeah, you're right, pink. You know, it's sort of like red and
decisive.
It's sort of like anger. And blue is like, you know, like the delicate blue sky, so it's for girls.
Yeah.
It's a calming color.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, we talk about the folk etymologies. It's like you reason backwards. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Right,
of course
right,
pink would
right,
be for the
yeah.
boys. Of course, yeah. It seems like by the time around World War II, again, at least in America, the preference had sort of flipped to what, you know, we today have sort of the gender associations of pink had become for girls, blue had become for boys. It could have gone either way. It could have stayed pink for boys forever. It just happened that it settled on blue for boys at the time of the rise of just mass commercialism in the 40s and into World War II. And
to me, it sounds like the colors can be interchangeable, whatever color you put in, but it's like the verbiage around it, right? You're saying, oh, pink is a decisive color and
right,
it's related
right.
to, but then you can put in any color and you're like, oh, yes. Neon yellow is a decisive color.
Right, but it's self-sustaining too. Like if you grew up as a little girl before even being able to remember that you were always dressed in pink, that you just take it for granted. It was just that's how it settled here in America.
From pink to blue for boys and blue to pink for girls.
Right. And you know, it went on this way for a while. When this really started to fade out the first time, the overtly gendered colors was, as you may not surprise you, in the 60s with the rise of the feminist movement and women's liberation. And a lot of mothers didn't want to buy into the, I don't want to socialize my kids that this color equals this. So they would start adopting a lot more unisex styles just as part of the ethos of the era. It makes sense. And what some of the researchers who look into this think is that one of the reasons that we started to see a rise again in the 80s of highly gendered color clothing was prenatal testing. And so that parents now readily, easily, you know, average more and more average parents could afford to know the sex of the baby ahead of time. and marketers could start getting you ready to start buying.
Wow.
So again, you know, we were talking about the shopping guides from all the way up through the 20s. Same thing now. It's like, oh, little girl on the way, we'll get all the pink, you know, get all the pink decorations and vice versa. It doesn't really matter what the colors were.
Yeah, if they can directly target, you know, a little bit more, then they can make that more of a personal connection with the customer.
That's right. And of course, make more money. Of course, it goes without saying. Yeah, so I just thought that was really interesting. It was one of those things like we take it for granted that it ended up the way it is.
Wow. So I have something interesting about clothes, speaking of color and clothes. And actually right now as we're recording, I'm wearing a new shirt and it's actually related to the thing I'm going to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I was going to pick a big fashion line or brand and research a little bit more about it for this episode. And I just kind of realized that in recent years, the company Lululemon has been blowing up. This whole idea of strong, athletic, and yoga-inspired, casual, comfortable clothing for women is just a big thing right now. So I decided to read more about Lululemon. And I found this really kind of weird thing that happened recently. So one of its lines at Lululemon, you know, they talk about making clothes out of, you know, bamboo fibers and out of different organic materials and, you know, really like kind of hitting that whole organic
sustainable
market
materials.
Thing. Yep. Mm-hmm. And also like high tech sports clothing. You're like, oh, this sounds like an exotic fabric and therefore it must be high tech and it will improve my performance. So one of the lines is called Vita C, like vitamins, but with C, like the ocean. And the company says that it's made with seaweed. And the fabric, according to the product tags at Lululemon, claims that it, quote, releases marine amino acids, minerals, and vitamins into the skin upon contact with moisture.
Oh.
What?
Like my body is absorbing minerals as I'm wearing a shirt.
It's a vitamin shirt.
Yeah. It's like a seaweed vitamin shirt. Hmm. So then I kind of dug a little deeper. The fabric provider is from a German company called Smart Fiber AG. And on their website, they talk about sea cell, which is the fabric made out of seaweed. It can do this: activation of cell regeneration, remineralization of the skin, protection from free radicals, and detoxicating and purging effect. Whoa. I was like, wow, sounds crazy for some sort of seaweed vitamin fabric. Yeah. So here's the controversy. The New York Times commissioned a laboratory test to see if this special seaweed shirt or seaweed fabric does do magical things I talked about earlier.
Let me guess.
It does.
It really does.
The conclusion, of course, there was no significant difference in mineral levels between the Vita C fabric and normal cotton t-shirts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, the labs found no evidence of seaweed in the Lululemon clothing. So this was I wouldn't say a big controversy, but a controversy. And from the test, at least, we know that there is no magical minerals or whatever woven into the shirt. Who knows?
Anytime something makes a claim like encourages cell regeneration, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I don't think that's true.
But it's like every t-shirt might encourage cell regeneration by right. rubbing against your body, yeah. causing your body to regenerate more
right,
cells.
Right. Gentle exfoliating properties.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. They say about like, you know, if you see like an advertisement for a razor where it's just like, oh, it's exfoliating. It's like, well, yes, every razor in the history of man is removed dead skin from your body.
Just good marketing.
If you run your hand across your face, you're exfoliating.
So, of course, finding out about this, I went to Lululemon and I wanted to see if they had any of the Vita C stuff still available.
Right.
Yeah.
And I went to several stores and could not find one. Finally, I found a shirt and it was on sale. So I bought it. I was like, oh, cool. I want this fake seaweed shirt. So I'm wearing my fake seaweed shirt now. Do I feel remineralized? I don't know. Maybe. It's very comfortable. I don't know. Maybe that's the whole deal.
It's working.
You know, that's enough of a claim for a t-shirt is, hey, it's really comfortable.
Yeah exactly.
I don't need it to regrow skin. It's okay. Does it look good? Is it comfortable? I'll buy it.
But
it
grows random new body parts when you put it on.
Who asked for this?
She has a tail now, but it's
So actually, here, I have a quick quiz for you guys.
Hey.
I'm going to say the type of fiber, the name of a type of fiber, and you tell me what is the origin of this fiber. So, for example, I mean, obviously, if I say cotton, you're going to say it's from a cotton plant.
Oh.
That was the worst
But you're
example.
Not going to say that.
But I'm not going to say that. Cashmere.
Sheep.
Incorrect. Oh.
Is it alpaca?
Incorrect. Dana. Goat. Dana is right. Cashmere is actually from goats, not sheep. Known as the fiber of kings, produced from the soft undercoat of the cashmere goat.
Yes.
Linen.
That comes from flax, right?
Yes. Linen comes from the flax plant. All right. Where does angora come from?
Llamas.
Incorrect.
Jeez, I don't know nothing.
Is that a sheep?
No. Incorrect.
Rabbits.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Angora, like used in mittens and gloves, it comes from the angora rabbit. Whoa. There is a goat also called angora goat. That's where mohair comes from. When you talk about mohair sweater, that's from the angora goat. But when you talk about angora, that actually refers to the fur of the angora rabbit. Do you guys know where vicuña comes from?
Oh, I've heard this.
Well, a little trivia first. Vicuña fleece is the rarest and most expensive natural fiber in the world.
Wow.
I think civets poop it. They make coffee and expensive fabric.
I've
the
heard
poop
this.
Fibers. Yeah. Vicuña.
They're cultured in the stomach. I'm going to guess it comes from a small animal being so expensive. It must be... No?
Actually, no. It comes from South American camelids, which are very similar to camels and is a relative of llama. Mm. Where does silk come from? Data.
Silkworms.
Yes. Yeah. They come from silkworms.
Trick
and
question.
Here's something interesting. We're going to Nightmare Town a little bit. The Craig Biocraft Laboratories are... trying to create, or actually did create, a silkworm that is genetically altered to produce spider silk.
Why?
Why?
We don't
just
have enough spiders.
They can. Just, okay.
They've solved every other problem.
How do we get silkworms to make spider web silk? There's a name for the silk that actually comes out from these genetically altered silkworms. It's called monster silk.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it would be called. Yeah.
Currently, right now, they have spun cocoons, a combination of silk and spider silk. Monster silk TM.
And this is for clothing? It's for...
I didn't know about this, but spider silk is like the current gold standard for fiber strength. Spider silk is one of the strongest natural occurring fibers in the world. So I think this whole kind of program of silkworms making spider silk is so that they can actually produce a lot of it.
Right, sure. Yep.
If that's not crazy enough, there's another experiment or program. The National University of Singapore are in the process of creating what they call super silk. And this type of super silk is 40% or more stronger than your usual silk. And basically, it could rival spider silk. And the enhanced silk is lighter than Kevlar and potentially can be used in body armor or used for aerospace, what Kevlar is used. So, I mean, that is really the drive for experimenting
materials,
with silk.
It's materials, yep. Science.
So how do they make super silk, you may ask? Okay, read a lot of newspaper articles about it. At first, when they're talking about it, they're not answering my question. They would say things like, and I quote, "In essence, the process can be inserted as a single additional step into the existing standard production processes of silkworm silk." That doesn't answer anything.
So they're sort of obliquely referring to like the process, but not talking about what the process is.
So this is what they do. So to make super silk, they expose the silkworms to an electric field before they spin their silk.
Oh.
So what happens is it changes the way the crystals are lined up. So with the electric field, it makes them line up in a way that actually tightens the protein structure. It makes it stronger. So can you imagine having a giant field of silkworms and then electrocuting them?
I can't imagine it.
Yeah, I could imagine it.
So there you go. That was my journey in lady clothes research. So yeah, some crazy stuff.
So is this shirt you're wearing?
Yes.
This is a seaweed shirt?
This shirt. Right, I actually found it. It took me a while to actually find a seaweed shirt.
It's probably on sale because they're clearing them all out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're a bunch of bullpucky, aren't they?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break and a word from our sponsor.
It is I, the fashionable and savvy robot. Since we are talking about ladies, do you know what attracts the gynoids and fembots? Other than a dangerously oversized magnet, confidence. I get my confidence by dressing my humanoid exterior in clothes from bonobos. Peripherals from bonobos make me feel sharp, smart, and paradox resistant. Try bonobos today.
All right, welcome back. And you are listening to Good Job Brain. And this week, we're talking about lady stuff.
That's right. We're talking about ladies. And so I have a quiz for you guys.
Uh-huh.
It is called Say My Name.
Say my name.
And I will give you the name of a band, and you tell me the name of a song that they wrote that has a woman's name in the title.
Oh.
All right.
So they're...
This is a big pool. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, right. No other clues. Just band.
Just the band, and you think
wow.
of a song.
Oh, okay,
and
let's see. Yeah.
All right. Of these songs are hits.
But if you can name more songs by a band.
Oh, yeah. We can keep going.
Additional songs.
We can keep going.
All right. Okay.
All right.
We'll
making up our own rules on the fly.
Why not? It's fine. It's loosey-goosey over here. All right. So the first one. This one came up for us recently. Plain White Tees. Karen?
Hey There, Delilah.
Yes. All right. Derek and the Dominoes.
Chris. Oh.
All together.
Layla.
Yeah. Sarah McLachlan. Chris.
Adia.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
Chris wins the Lilith Fair part of the contest.
The Beach Boys. Chris.
Help Me, Rhonda.
Oh, yeah. That's one.
Also one of them.
Barbara Ann.
Yeah.
Barbara.
Oh, that's a name? I thought it was just nonsense words.
Barbara Ann.
How about this? Aqua.
Oh.
No.
Colin.
Barbie. Or Barbie girl,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, not the woman.
The look of disdain on your face. I'm Barbie...
something.
Michael Jackson. Karen.
Billie Jean.
Yep.
There must be more.
Yeah, he must have
be
more.
Yeah. But I can't.
Oh, Dirty Diana.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Chris.
Is this Danny California?
Yep. How about the Goo Goo Dolls? Karen.
Iris.
Yep.
Oh, right.
I thought they were singing about the eye.
How about Dolly Parton?
Oh.
Chris. Jolene.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Definitely a good music round song, that
yep.
one.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Little Richard.
Good golly,
Miss Molly.
Yeah. Prince. Chris.
Man, I can think of a few,
Darlene Nikki.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac.
Just do all of them.
I know, yeah, okay, well.
Let's see
okay.
if you can name all of them.
Oh, okay, well, all of them. I don't know about all of them, but.
The hits.
Rhiannon.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Yeah.
What else? I
those were the two
quite I think. Rhiannon, got, yeah. Sarah. Okay, there you go.
Nice. Cool.
How about Toto?
Rosanna.
Yeah.
I was going to say Africa.
The motherland, sure. Like, maybe. The Police.
Oh,
Roxanne!
How about The Knack? Karen.
My Sharona.
Yeah, nice.
All right, I saved this one for last. They have a lot.
Oh, here we go.
The Beatles.
Eleanor Rigby. Oh, we'll go around the table.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eleanor Rigby.
Michelle.
Yeah.
Dear Prudence.
Yeah.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Yeah.
That's to me, huh?
Yep.
Penny Lane.
Yes,
that's not a person's name, though, in the song.
Right, it's a place. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, man, I'm absolutely blanking on this. There's so many.
I got a good one.
All right, I'll skip.
Lady Madonna.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Julia.
Yeah, no. That's a good one. Yeah. John Lennon. Hey Jude is to a boy.
It
is, not
yes.
a woman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear more of them? Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Ballad of John and Yoko.
Oh, of course.
Carol. Clarabella. You got Dear Prudence. Dizzy Miss Lizzie. Got Eleanor Rigby.
Oh, I know one. I can read Polythene Pam.
Yes.
Off of Abbey
yes.
Road. Yeah. All right, I got one in there.
All right.
Lovely Rita.
Mm. Oh, Lovely Rita.
Of course. Yeah.
Lucille. Maggie May, Martha, my dear.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yep. Yeah.
And Sexy Sadie.
Sexy Sadie.
Yeah. Yes. Man, so many in there.
They liked singing about the ladies.
They sure did.
Yeah. Good job, you guys.
That was good.
Thanks. No, that was fun.
I have an exciting quizzical segment for you all.
You sound excited.
I'm thrilled.
All right.
The theme of this is things that only women know, or things that tend to escape the view of guys, but the things that may come second nature to a lot of women. And of course, to find this out, I asked my fiance, Regina, and I said, ask me a bunch of questions that women know, but guys may or may not know the answer to.
So Regina wrote this quiz.
Regina wrote this quiz, but the concept of this quiz is not, do you know the answer? The concept is, when she asked me the question, did I get it right or not? So I'm going to ask these questions, and I'll ask Colin these questions to see if Colin can get the women questions. If he can't, then you guys can chime in with the answers.
Okay.
But really what I'm asking the two of you, Karen and Dana, is, when I was asked this question, did I get it right or not?
Okay. Oh, man.
Okay. So here we go. All right. I'll ask Colin this question. What are espadrilles?
Oh, okay.
What are espadrilles?
Espadrilles, they're like, they're shoes. They're flats.
That's good enough.
Yeah. Okay.
That's okay.
Good enough.
Did I get this right or not?
No.
I did get this right.
I think you would have gotten
it. I got espadrilles.
Okay. They're made out of jute or like hemp in the sole, like woven braided sandals.
Colin, where does mascara go?
It goes on your face.
No! More specifically,
it goes on your eyelashes.
Okay. Did I get this right?
Yes.
No, I blew this
off. What? Where did you think it went?
You know what I said? I said, oh, it goes on your eyelid.
It's some kind of tampon?
I said, I got it confused with eyeshadow, and I said it goes on your eyelid.
Oh, okay.
Yep. What? Name any two members of the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, my goodness.
First names only is just fine.
I can name all of them.
Not asking you.
Man, any two members of the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, you only have as much time as I had.
Was that the one Justin Timberlake was in, or is that NSYNC? Then I can't name any.
No? Okay. They are AJ, Howie, Nick, Kevin, and Brian. Did I get this?
Yes.
No.
I did not get this.
Well, did you get at least one?
I did not get any of them.
Wow. Not even Nick Carter.
Not even Nick Carter. Okay. Name two members of NSYNC.
Okay. That is Justin Timberlake.
Uh-huh.
Joey Fatone.
Yeah.
I used to know a third one, too.
Lance Bass.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
JC Chazé.
Okay. Yeah. So the question is, did I get this right?
Yes.
I think I did
get this right. And you know why? Regina said this. You know the individual members of NSYNC because they broke up. And they had solo careers.
Yeah.
And so that's why those names got out there. But the individual members of the Backstreet Boys.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. Only one
of them did.
I had a vague recollection that there was a person called Nick Carter. But other than that,
He's the only one.
Yeah.
Totally missed it.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is the group of popular girls in the movie Mean Girls called?
Oh.
What is their clique?
They were the Queen Bees. Yes? I don't know.
What were they?
The Plastics.
They were the Plastics. Wow. Yes. Now, did I get this right?
Yes. It all comes down to how recently Chris had seen the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
I did get this right.
Nice.
I'm in a long-term relationship. You have to watch Mean Girls a lot. What are the four C's, Colin, of diamonds?
Oh, okay.
Four C's of diamonds.
It's cut, clarity... Oh, man. Cut, clarity. Jeez, I don't know.
There's one that you're going to kick yourself if you don't get.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I'm blanking.
Carrot.
Oh, cut, of course. Carrot. Cut, clarity, carrot.
Wait. Color.
Oh, color.
Cut, clarity, carrot. You got the two hard ones.
All right.
Did I get this right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes because you just got engaged.
Chris, that is true.
Yeah. Yes. And you like appraising things.
That is, yes, you're absolutely right. Dana, yes. Gold star for Dana and Colin, yes. Yeah, it's good to know, like, okay, well, where on the clarity scale can the human eye stop telling the difference between, you know, colors and different clarity?
Optimize like that. One below.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not paying for things she can't see.
What actually is a carrot? Like, I know it's weight, but, like, what is the weight equivalent?
Oh, the like weight, what is one carat, right? Yeah. I think I remember reading this once that it's one of these old historical weights. I believe it was one carat was the weight of one seed of carrots. God. It was like a carob seed or something. It was the seed of one plant that was so regular and uniform that you could almost use that as a standard. Hmm. I think I remember reading that.
Okay, so I'm looking it up right now, and I'm sorry, carat actually is not weight; it is mass.
Well, oh, sure, yeah.
Carat is a unit of mass equal to 200 milligrams.
Right, but I mean, it's been standardized now. Historically, it did have a meaning.
There was a seed. There was a seed that was 200 milligrams.
I'm pretty sure.
Yes, actually, you are right. Came from the Greek word, and it meant carob seed.
All right.
Ooh. Hey.
You got it.
Yeah. Good job, brain.
It was a unit of weight. Yep. Wow.
Who is the star of the movie Miss Congeniality? Remember, this is just for Colin.
That was Sandra Bullock?
It is Sandra Bullock, yes.
Did you get it right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You seem so surprised when he got it right. It makes me think you did not get it right.
I actually did get it right.
You did?
Okay. Yeah, it was another one of those movies you just got to watch over and over again.
Cable staple.
Yes.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
How about this? What is a peplum?
I don't know. Peplum. It's cracking Karen up, though. Man, I don't know.
This is a hard one.
This is hard.
I don't even think this has come across my consciousness.
Karen, what is a peplum?
Well, I'm going to first say that you got it wrong.
I got what wrong?
That you didn't know what a peplum was.
I did not know what a peplum was. Okay. No.
Peplum is, I'm not really even sure how to describe it. So they're these flaps that kind of show up on the top of a skirt. So it's almost like a super mini skirt above your skirt.
Huh.
It's
very big in the 80s.
I read it was an overskirt attached to the bottom of a garment, like a shirt or a blouse or a top, but has a small skirt basically attached to its hem, like a really large hem. When they say a maxi pad has wings, what do those wings do?
They wrap around the edge of the panties to hold them in place.
Yes.
And I believe some of them also... Sorry, we don't need to get into it.
That's let you fly? Yes. You've discovered our secret.
I used to watch The Flying Nun, and I'm pretty sure that's how she did it.
She put a maxi pad on her head.
It does kind of look like that.
And that is correct, but did I know that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did know that.
You live with a lady.
But I don't really put maxi pads on panties a lot.
Not that often. All right. Not that often. Sometimes.
Not yet. You use a curling iron to curl straight hair. What do you use to straighten curly hair?
Oh, well, I mean, there's a crimping iron. That's not it. Is it just called a flat iron? I don't know. Straightening
it? Just called a flat iron.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, that was me just guessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pulled that out of nowhere. Yeah. Did I get it right?
I hope so. Yes.
No.
I'm going to say no, that you overthought it.
You are correct. I said, I don't know, hair flattener? No. Flat iron.
She said hair straightener. I would have given it to you.
Yeah. Okay. Straightener works too. Because they're not necessarily, not to go
I did not,
super detailed.
They do say hair straightener.
So the thing is, flat iron is actually made out of metal. It's like an iron. But there's also ceramic hair straighteners where the plates are ceramic instead of metal.
Huh.
So then
they can't call it an iron.
You can't call it an iron. So it's a hair straightener.
Okay. Fascinating. That is interesting.
Hmm. What does it mean to French a lamb chop?
It's exactly what you think it is.
French a lamb chop.
What does it mean to French a lamb chop?
Is it filleted or stuffed with something? I don't know. Man,
that's two answers.
Okay, I will say it's you cut it into a fun pattern.
No, you kiss it.
With tongue.
No, I actually don't know what that means.
You don't know?
Isn't it a cut?
It is when they cut all the connective tissue and everything away from the ends of the bone. So you have the lamb chop and then the bone coming out.
Okay.
I think you knew it.
You knew it.
I didn't know that.
You did
I had
not?
No idea. No, I was just like, I don't know. Is he cut it?
Oh, but you're like a foodie.
No, didn't know that. French a lamb chop. And finally, importantly, who is the star of the movie Legally Blonde?
Reese Witherspoon.
Okay, well, yes. I got that one.
That is one of my wife's all-time favorite movies. I've seen many times.
Yeah, I knew that, of course.
Yes.
Would not have known that years ago. Would have had no idea. Would have told you, quite frankly, to go to heck.
Legally Blonde is a good movie.
It is a good movie. It is.
was good.
We're going to get
that
a little dog.
That was a good quiz. I like that.
Oh, thanks. Surprising what I know and don't know.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm going to read you guys a short list of invented words, and I want you to try and tell me what you think these words were invented for.
Oh. Okay.
Heesh, kin, shem, ji, hesh, they, te.
These alphabetical letters?
They do. They almost sound like Hebrew letters in the alphabet.
They do.
These are all words that have been proposed as gender-neutral pronouns in English.
Say it again. Say it again.
These heesh, kin, they, shem, zhi, like Z-H-E, po, hesh. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Wow.
And in English, we have he and she, mm-hmm. his and hers, and it's a problem because we don't have gender-neutral pronouns.
But you mean gender-neutral singular pronouns?
Yes.
Them, they, those are all pronouns.
Right, good point. That's right, right. He, she, his, hers is really what I'm talking about. That's right. And where it really becomes a problem, you know, Chris, as a writer, I'm sure you run into this. Is
all the time.
The problem is, how do you write in a gender-neutral way? Because, you know, most people, historically, they'll use he for singular. But the problem is that, as you say, because those are singular, it's not grammatical to say, like, each person should pick up their own paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
not grammatical because there is
plural.
Is plural. Right.
Right.
Now, this is not a new problem. This has been, I mean, almost the entire history of English, how to deal with this, can sometimes lead to some really awkwardly constructed sentences. Mm. Each person must pick up the paycheck sent to that person, you know, or or you can say like it gets really tortured and complicated. But just to show you that this is a thorny issue in English, and mm-hmm. there's not really any one clear answer that is satisfactory to everybody. Where it really interests me is where it comes into the intersection for the purposes of this show to equality and rights in American history. So I want to talk a little bit about Susan B. Anthony, who I think by any measure was pretty awesome lady and did a lot.
I just know she's on a coin.
She is on a coin. She was one of the primary figures in women's suffrage. That's right. And did a lot of things to really advance the cause of women's voting rights. So let's go back to 1872. So now the 14th Amendment had recently been adopted, which granting free rights to freed slaves, basically saying that all laws of the land apply to all people. Now, one of the problems with this is that the law of the land after the 14th Amendment, a lot of people didn't think that this applied to women. They're like, oh, the 14th Amendment, yeah, equal rights for everybody as long as they're men. And of course, this is understandably infuriating to someone if you are working for women's voting rights. So as part of an act of civil disobedience, Susan B. Anthony and many other women registered and voted in the 1872 presidential election. Okay, and they were not technically allowed
supposed
by law
to.
To do this. That's right. They were not supposed to. The women had not been formally given the right to vote. So to attract attention to the cause, she voted and publicized it. And a couple weeks after the election, she was arrested. She was arrested for voting and put on trial. And this was really kind of her goal, was to get on trial, partly to get a much broader stage. Yeah. And she was, in fact, a very gifted speaker and would do speaking tours all around promoting her views on women's voting rights. So while she was on trial for voting, the focus of the trial really comes down to rights and civil rights. So frankly, the trial sounds like a farce. It really, the fix was in from the beginning. The judge ordered the jury to find her guilty. The judge would not allow her to testify. The judge had...
Oh, trying to shut her down.
The judge had statements that she had made entered as testimony on her behalf. I mean, it was farcical. Hmm. But one of the real legal underpinnings trotted out at the time for, like, why women should be allowed to vote is like, oh, it comes down to, well, the law says he and him, therefore that means men. I mean, this was a legitimate argument put forth by people at the time. I mean, it sounds so crazy now. She made the point that, well, there is no she or her or hers in the tax laws either. So women don't have to pay taxes, right?
Oh.
And there is no she or hers in criminal offense statutes. So women don't have to be tried for crimes, right? You can probably guess how that argument went over. Yeah. But I thought that was just such a great inversion, just such a great rhetorical, not trick, but just such a great rhetorical position to take. For the record, she was found guilty. And for the record, she did not pay her fine till the day she died.
Really?
Wow.
She refused to pay the fine.
If she paid it with the coins that have our picture on it.
Right.
Like, well, here you go. Keep the change.
That's me.
Yeah.
In a final bit of irony and insult to injury, I did read one account of this trial that said that her lawyer actually went and paid the fine for her as a matter of being chivalrous. And it's like, dude, you don't get it. You just don't understand.
No,
you just don't understand.
He was trying to help, but no.
No. Right, that was a pretty big cornucopia of women facts and questions. I'm so happy the word espadrille came up. I don't think I've heard that word in a really long time.
No problem.
That's awesome. And I have a last quiz segment for you guys. And we haven't done a music round in a while, so I thought I'd bring back the music round. And of course, since it's my music round, it is themed.
Of course.
Theme, yeah.
There's a theme. Try to figure out the theme. And in music rounds, what I generally do is I'll play a short segment of a song, and you would have to identify the artist, whether if it's a singer or a group or a band performing the song. And the theme might be in the title of the song or actually in the performer. Here we go. Let's start with number one. Dana.
Radiohead?
Correct! Radiohead. The Dana. Song is My Iron Lung.
Okay.
Next one.
Was that Bubba Sparks?
Yes. Bubba Sparks with three X's. Bubba Sparks song?
Is that country or what was it? I don't remember the name
Ms.
of
New
it.
Ms. New Booty? I don't
yes.
know.
Yes. Ms. New Booty.
Ms.
Ms.
Right?
Ms.
Empowered Ms. New Booty.
Featuring the Ying Yang Twins. Next one.
Look and listen, baby, that's my philosophy.
Yes, it is now.
It's called rubbernecking, baby, but that's all right with me. Some people say I'm wasting time. They don't really know. I like what I see. I see what I like out here.
Chris.
Elvis Parsley.
We should do a quiz on like puns with Elvis
okay.
Parsley.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be good.
Is that it?
It is. It is Elvis Presley.
Okay.
Rubbernecking?
Yes, rubbernecking.
I think I know the
theme.
Yeah.
Okay.
High five.
Colin does too, right?
Next song.
Do you
Dana?
Flaming Lips.
Yes.
Do you realize?
Yes. Big hit for them. The Flaming Lips, Do You Realize? And the last one.
Tell me something that'll save me. I need a man on it's my all right. Tell me something that'll change me. I'm gonna love you with my hands tied. Show me your teeth.
Tell me when.
Show me your teeth.
Open your mouth, boy.
Show me your teeth.
Show me what you got.
Show me your teeth.
Lady Gaga.
Yay! Do you know the song?
Teeth.
Yes!
Nice.
And the theme is, everybody?
Body
parts. Parts of the body.
Yes, body parts. We got Teeth.
Teeth.
By Lady Gaga.
Radiohead.
We got Radiohead.
And okay, all right.
Yeah, that was a double.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Ms. New Booty. I guess booty is not really a technical term.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you won't find that in many medical manuals, yes.
Booty diagram. Do You Realize by the Flaming Lips?
Lips.
And Elvis Presley and Rubber Neckin'.
Neck. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, good job, you guys. And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot about different fabrics, pronouns, Susan B. Anthony, what a peplum is.
Yeah, I learned something.
And songs with women names in them. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, which is goodjobbrain.com. And check out our sponsor at bonobos.com. And also join us on Twitter and on Facebook, too. We have a lot of fun on that, too. So see you guys next week.
Bye.
See you.